Warning, the podcast you're about to hear is very filthy. We say naughty words you'll eventually use as an adult anyway. It'll cause you not to eat your vegetables, and your mom generally thinks it's a bad idea. Any moment within the show that has any similarity to the history of any person living or dead or any actual events is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Except where specifically noted, otherwise in the cast and crew credits, all celebrity voices are impersonated and no celebrities have endorsed any aspect of this show.
Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, dear
the good, the bad, and the geek,
baby Jesus.
And Segway Hawk Dog.
Yes,
happy birthday to us.
Wow.
I just totally butchered the word.
And many more
on channel 4.
And Mr. T on channel 3. And Scooby Doo on channel 2. That's all I know.
Okay. Hey everyone, welcome out to The Good, The Bad, and The Geeky.
Special 1 year anniversary show. Even though our anniversary was probably a couple weeks ago. We were waiting for John to do the anniversary show.
Back.
John's back.
John has an email for us. You could do the first email.
I'm really not going to send it.
Dear, wait, I'll read John's email for him. Dear John, what have you been doing the last few weeks?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Yeah, I
wanted John to sing Since I've Been Gone.
Welcome back. I don't know the lyrics of that song.
Welcome back to the same old place that you left it.
Back with me.
Great show. Okay, so, no, seriously, emails, people.
Dear Nick, why are you wearing an Indiana Jones hat when you did the show? How did you know? I don't know. I bought it. It was fun. I wear it now. It's my podcast.
You should have said, how did you know? Because I was telling an email, like, how did you know? But never mind. Now.
But thank you.
My email says, go ahead.
My email is from Jorge.
Jorge? Where is Jorge?
Mexico.
Mexico or New Mexico?
Mexico. Okay. La Nueve de Mexico, Puerto de Rossi.
My email says...
I don't know what that means.
Dear Nick, Jimmy, and John, I am a loyal fan, and I know your anniversary was weeks ago. Why are you celebrating it tonight?
Wow.
Which I kind of just answered a minute ago, but I had
to... I was going to say, good job. Repetitive listener. What's the repetitive listener
name?
Well,
the listener did not know we had just covered it because it's not a live show.
Well, then why?
This is from Aurora.
Why did you say that?
Who lives in Aurora.
Aurora in Aurora?
Yeah.
Thank you for being repetitive. We appreciate
it.
And you know what? You know who we forgot on our cast?
No, I just randomly called. The way I do my emails is I hit a random generator button, and it goes through the millions of emails I get.
Generating fake email now.
Right, and it sorts through the millions and puts it on my screen.
Fake email now available from Ahura. From Ahura.
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 Okay, we got John.
Isn't it also a Star Trek character?
Ahura is.
Ahura. No, it's two.
The hour is two.
What the hell?
Alright, dear John. Why aren't you not going to be talking much? Well, listener, I am. We're going to do a song later on in the show.
Much better than the one we opened the
show. I just got the words tonight. I have the music, but he's someone. Let's say an artist as the writer.
Me?
Sure.
Let's just call him.
He finished it about 10 minutes
ago. I finished writing it like 2 weeks ago. You just haven't been around.
You should have emailed me.
John, since you've been gone, Jimmy's been writing for the longest time. I don't know the rest of the words. Yeah, yeah. Yes, I did. Yes, I did, since you've been gone. Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to be filling in chord names.
Excellent. Excellent.
And trying to put my two cents in.
Maybe. You put in four.
Maybe four.
I think you should do four.
Do I have a fiver? Do I hear a fiver in there?
Fiver?
A fiver?
Okay. We need to move on these news because this is also our season finale show. And we have tons and tons of season finales together. So it's going to start.
You know what?
Text message to my girlfriend.
Yeah.
You need to stop seeing yourself face to face. People think that you have a girlfriend.
And they're horribly mistaken when they see a picture of you on a blow-up doll, and they go, that's not a girl, that's you, in a dress, on a blow-up doll. That joke wasn't as funny as I thought in my head.
It really wasn't.
It really wasn't.
We got all kinds of stuff planned for you in the coming year, but this is our look back to last year. Anyway, first news story.
The coming year? That's
kind of that year? Man, it's sure getting off.
The coming year?
Michael Bay and the Platinum Dooms guys are writing a movie based on Ouija, which we reported about the board game movies.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're keeping the plot under wraps, but it will be a supernatural adventure with the Ouija board playing an integral part of the story. But it will not be Jumanji-like.
I think you said Luigi.
No, also, Alexander Courage, composer of the original Star Trek theme from the 60s, died. That's not all he wrote. That's just how I know him. He also composed films, scores such as Superman 4, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, Lost in Space. Oh, TV shows. Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, Lost in Space, The Waldens, Land of the Giants. Other movies were like The Left-Handed Gun, The Pleasure Seekers.
Star Trek.
He worked with many great composers, including John Williams and Jerry Goldsmith. Jerry Goldsmith died not too long ago. He was a Star Trek composer for like Star Trek movies and stuff. Yeah.
Star Trek.
Alexander's original Star Trek theme is what he'll be most remembered for. We had other deaths this week.
I know.
Sidney Pollack was the most notable one.
Yes.
Sidney Pollack or Sidney Pollack?
Pollack, whatever. You know.
He has a pull-up on his Pollack.
Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. And yes. Earl Hagen, who is the guy that composed and whistled the Andy Griffith Show theme.
Also, my favorite
he
theme
also wrote the
is
theme
Dick
Van Dyke,
Dyke
Gomer
yeah.
Pyle, I Spy, Mod Squad.
Mm-hmm. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Da 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 da.
Da da da.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Did you want to? Why don't you talk some news, Nicholas?
Well, Harvey Korman died. That's
oh, yeah,
another.
Yeah.
Yeah, he died tonight.
Very sad.
Yeah, it is actually pretty sad. Because Carol Burnett showed he was hilarious, and also, of course, he was great in Blazing Saddles as. Hedley Lamarr. yeah. And also, in other deaths, we have Rob Knox, who I don't know who the hell he is, but he plays a character in the new Harry Potter movie. He's a minor character, thank God. He was murdered in a bar fight Saturday, so.
Nice.
Good times.
Not nice.
Wow.
But lots of deaths. Rainn Wilson's been cast for Transformers 2.
That's right. He plays Shia
LaBeouf.
He'll
only have a bit part, though.
College professor.
Oh.
He's probably like John Turturro.
I was going to say, that'd be kind of a weird, I don't know how you play a Transformer.
Well, he's going to be a college professor. Right.
Quickly, car, get into my stomach when he transforms and kills the car.
They're hopeful that Transformers 2 will outdo the original.
I hope so, if they actually make it about the Transformers and not Shia LaBeouf.
The Autobots will have more interaction with each other in this one.
Oh, they fucking better. That was the only bad part. That and the ending was so fast and furious, you had no idea who was attacking what, except for lead guy.
Yeah. Put that on silent.
Yeah,
could,
you could.
But I won't know.
You won't know.
I'm going to do Silent Laugh and watch for the fucking blinking light.
I'll get cancer when it, like,
cancer.
Flows through me.
All right, in other news, being that Indiana 4 is doing really good right now, Brett Ratner is coming, is being hired and tapped to do Beverly Hills Cop 4, which is, I know, we're all jumping at the bit for that.
Oh, no. Did that mess up the soundboard? Are we still recording okay?
Yes, we're still recording okay.
That wasn't even the cat.
That wasn't even the cat, no.
There's a new television show.
That's Beverly Hills Cop for me.
Yeah. Written by
also
Josh
known
Ritter.
As Axel F.
And M.A. Fordham.
Axel F. Great song.
That's the name of the song. What are you talking about, Jay?
There's some new television show. I'm trying to read the article. This is what happens when I don't fully prepare.
Oh, you mean like when you didn't type out this until like 10 minutes ago?
There's going to be a show called Women in Chains.
Because I'm on like the 10th line of
with an exclamation
like
mark in the title. Rodriguez
yes.
is directing and producing, and Rose McGowan will be starring as one of the five main femmes in Chains.
Yes.
It doesn't say like what network it's going to be on, but it's supposed to be big and fun and...
Dan Rather is returning to Dirty Sexy Money.
Dan Rather?
Uh-huh.
He was on Dirty Sexy Money? I don't remember that.
He played himself, and he's coming back as, wait for it, himself.
Ooh.
And Brad Garrett is taking a starring role in Monk next season, as well as Robert Loggia. You know,
Brad Garrett's taking a starring role in Monk?
A guest starring role,
A guest starring role.
Yeah, it's like a multi...
Still Bethel's picked up again.
Multi-arc.
Okay.
You guys want to hear a cool story about Brad Garrett?
Sure.
Yes.
All right, I'll try to make this short. My uncle collects old, like, oil signs.
Yeah.
You know, from, like, gas stations and all that memorabilia and stuff. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's real big into it, I guess. And
Imco oil and stuff like that, yeah.
I guess he has his own, like, website and goes to all these antique shows. And, like, he's, like, a big seller in the U.S.
Oh, wow.
And he gets this random call from someday, from someone someday. And he lives in Chillicothe. My uncle does. He has, like, a warehouse or whatever, all this crap in it. Some guy asking all these questions about oil signs. My uncle's talking to the guy and finds out he lives in Hollywood. And my uncle's
That's
one of
cool.
those people that doesn't really watch TV. So he wouldn't recognize Brad Garrett's voice, you know? Just like everyone would. And, you know, long story short, it was Brad Garrett.
That's pretty. What did he want? What did he end up wanting? He wasn't for a show.
He has
or
a garage, I guess.
Okay.
Out in Hollywood, and he just wanted
some signs to decorate.
Yeah, some decorate.
Well, that's cool.
But yeah, I thought
that is very awesome.
The Venture Brothers, after almost a 2-year hiatus, is coming back for its third season this weekend. The opening show is called Shadowman 9 in the Cradle of Destiny. And the screenshot I'm looking at has the Monarch's Henchmen, which is kind of fun. I love that show. I can't believe it's been out for 2 years. I assumed it was gone. And Garbage's Shirley Manson becomes a regular on Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. They said, because the show doesn't yet feature enough super hot actresses, the Garbage vocalist for the band Garbage, as a high-tech firm CEO. They're hypothesizing she may replace Miles Dyson as the creator of Skynet, since Dyson's dead in the...
Terminator 2.
Right. Neil Gaiman's doing an episode of Doctor Who. You gotta respect Neil Gaiman.
Respect the Neil Gaiman.
And in terms of strike news, which we haven't had to do for a while, the American Federation of Television Radio Artists finally has a deal with the producers. It's mostly like television stuff, or radio and stuff, but it also covers shows like Curb Your Enthusiasm, Fly the Conchords, Till Death, and Reaper. So those shows are safe with the Actors Guild. Now, Screen Actors Guild has the most actors in it, and they have not yet reached an agreement, but I think they still have till July at some point to get an agreement. They're Screen Actors Guild's the only big one that hasn't reached an agreement yet. So hopefully we won't face another strike, and even if we do, not all the actors will have to go on strike, just most of them.
Beyond that, the only really news I have is Georgia Fox is returning to CSI as Sarah Seidel. And for those who follow Mike Acello on TV Guide, he is leaving TV Guide to join Entertainment Weekly.
Yes.
Which he gets a lot of our TV news comes from Mike Acello, at least on my end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of a... I don't know if they're going to keep up the same thing, because he was very interactive with everybody. So
yeah. I got several more news stories. CBS, which has been doing classic shows online like Star Trek, The Twilight Zone, MacGyver for free, is adding a new classic show such as The Love Boat, Beverly Hills 90210, Twin Peaks, Family Ties, and Perry Mason online for free.
Oh, that's cool. Perry Mason's badass.
I'm excited about Beverly Hills 90210 because I kind of want to start watching it this summer so I can get ready for the new 90210 in the fall.
You'll never catch up in time, though, Jimmy.
I know, probably not, but we'll see.
Even though it's a spinoff that's not really a spinoff.
It sort of is. It's a continuation. It's just a continuation, really. Like, they took a break and now they're back, sort of. CW's added four new shows for their Sunday night lineup for the fall. A reality show called In Harm's Way, about people who perform dangerous jobs. Surviving Suburbia, which is a half-hour comedy centering on a family and its wacky new neighbors. Valentine Inc., an hour-long dramedy about agency that mends broken hearts. And the one-hour drama Easy Money will focus on a family that runs in a high-interest loan business. Anybody say check-cashing business, which are going out of business in Ohio? Flava Flav won't be returning for a fourth season of Flava Flav because he got engaged to the mother of his youngest son. Even though not the girl he just picked in Flavor of Love 3, somebody else.
I never watched it.
I didn't either. I was
scrooging channels here and they had the roast of him on.
That's funny.
And I think I had to go.
The roast was great.
Those are all pretty good.
The roast of Flavor Flav was a lot better than I expected. I expected to be bored and hate it.
Well, I just like the fact that they totally grilled Bridget, what's her name?
Bridget Wilson.
Oh, geez.
Kelsey Grammer, who, of course, just lost his job because Back to You was canceled, has already been signed to play the title character as an eccentric billionaire in the ABC comedy Roman's Empire. So he didn't stay down long. He's back already.
Well, also, he has a new movie coming out that I think looks really good with Kevin Costner and Dennis Hopper called Swing Vote, which I think is going to be really fun.
I want to see the HBO movie Recount. Too bad we don't get HBO.
Dad's taping it for me.
Ooh.
So.
Fareed Zakaria, one of my favorite people, international editor of Newsweek, he's got his own show on CNN's weekly talk show starting next week, which may not interest you, but I'm really excited about it.
Oh, yeah, Lisa Singh is also joining CNN from Fox News.
Oh, from Fox, ew.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to Nick about this before the show, but Kristen Newman, one of the writers in How I Met Your Mother, has an untitled ABC comedy coming out. It will star Alyssa Milano as a woman trying to break free of her overbearing family. Will also star Beau Bridges and Megan Fay. Nick's disappointed because Beau Bridges is on the name of Israel and not with her. Shut up. Jay Harrington will star in an untitled workplace comedy for ABC about a man who's had a research and development for a not very decent corporation. And Ron Perlman has joined the FX series Sons of Anarchy, replacing the role Scott Glenn played in the pilot. And last but not least, Sam Neill, Sean Bean, and Joss Ackland have joined the NBC drama Caruso.
Oh, last news that I have is about the Hobbit movies. They had a live chat like they did, was it almost 8 years ago, for Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Guillermo del Toro and Peter Jackson both stated, you know, what their hopes and what they're trying to do with the movies. And apparently what we've learned is that some people thought they were taking the Hobbit. And the second movie they were going to do would be like the ending, last part of The Hobbit. And apparently, contractually, they cannot do that. So The Hobbit will probably be like four hour long movie. And then the second movie will actually be a bridge between the two. And no one knows if they're going to include the Silmarillion or if they're going to just do other stuff with Aragorn or whoever. So that's something interesting. And also, the second movie is where almost all the cast from the other movies will be coming back. Gandalf the Grey is the only one who will be, Ian McKellen will be featured in The Hobbit. So, too much. And the guy from Rivendell was in The Matrix. Oh my gosh, I can't remember his name.
Neo.
Not Neo, the other guy. The Agent Smith.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, the voice of V for Vendetta. Mm-hmm. This is a great movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all the news I got.
Me too. Do we have time to do our movie reviews before the break since we've got tons of TV reviews?
Yeah.
Excellent. Real briefly, I saw Prince Caspian. It was fantastic. I
saw it real briefly, or your comments real briefly?
The movie was 2.5 hours long. My comments are briefly because that's not the movie we want to talk about.
See, that's the kind of banter we miss here.
That's what John adds to the show. I thought it was better than The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I really liked it. I know they already signed the guy who played Prince Caspian to Voyage of the Dawn Treader, but Nick's thinking the movie might not get made, so I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Disney's blaming the timing of the release on why it
yeah,
didn't be
Bob
so well.
Iger finally released that at the stock course because
yeah,
apparently
I
there
mean,
was a lot
went
of concern.
Up against Indiana Jones and
well, apparently they the reason why Disney moved it is because Walden Books, the people who own the movie right and the properties to the books currently, besides the Lewis estate, they didn't like the fact that their other book being made at Sony called The Water Horse, Legend of Whatever, whatever, that came out last... It was supposed to come out last Christmas. And it was up against that, and because Walden Books got mad, Disney's like, listen, how about this? We'll move it in the summertime for you, and we're expecting it to do big numbers anyway, and then and now, of course, they're saying, oops, we scheduled against Indiana Jones and Iron Man. We totally didn't expect either of those movies to do well. But... Yeah, so they're saying that they might finish one more film. Iger stated at the conference, but he said beyond that, the prospect of doing all the films is a far long possibility right now. So far shot. So, but he is because he is right. The next movie is supposed to come out, I think, by 2010 or 2011. So,
just taking a quick look, real quick. DVDs for TV seasons are really cheap this week. I guess because of the Blu-ray thing's taken off and they're going to start releasing all the shows on Blu-ray soon, I'm looking over these lists of $15, $20 seasons, and it's crazy how many. So if you want to buy...
Sunday.
Well, if you've been waiting for TV DVDs, buy them next week or this week, whatever.
We get 10% of all advertising from Amazon.
Is coming out, by the way.
Freakazoid comes out in July, and then also Futurama movie.
Last week Muppet Show came out.
Sorry.
And 24 yeah. Season 1 Special Edition. That's so weird.
The edition that Jimmy doesn't own.
I know, it makes me mad. Because
what edition?
They actually, this is the first 24? Time I've heard of this,
yeah.
Other than Star Trek,
season one.
Re-released the season. Like, Star Trek released by volume, then re-released by season. 24 just re-released the first season as a special edition.
Amazing.
Kind of makes me mad.
Well, Star Trek, they actually did something, but
I love it that Lipstick Jungle on the DVD says season one when it should say the complete series.
Oh, silly Lipstick Jungle.
Thinking they're going to get another season. Okay, so the movie on everyone's mind.
Yes.
Who wants to talk about it first?
What movie?
What movie are we talking about, Jimmy?
Of course we're talking about...
Which one?
Of course we're talking about Harold and Kumar... Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Escape from Azkaban.
Actually, I heard that was terrible. I haven't seen that.
With Harry Potter.
No, we're talking about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Okay, first off, since we've all three seen it.
Yes, we have.
Where do we all place the movies within the... I mean, we've all talked about this separately together.
They're two different.
See,
I rate it as comparable. No, I can't.
Sure you can.
I can't.
Yes, you have to.
I can't. I'm putting it comparable to the other three.
All right. I
know Nick's got more of an opinion, but I just can't. I like them all too much for different reasons.
Okay, well, see, that's true, but there's always one you're going
to
hold over higher.
We have to play our game.
I mean, Last Crusade may have an edge.
Or you're not getting playing dodgeball later.
We're getting this out of you. Okay, so Last Crusade's first. What's
next? Okay, come on, Jimmy. What's next?
You've made, put me on the spot.
Jimmy,
you're making me choose.
Let our listeners understand that this is just the whim of Jimmy for this moment. In 5 seconds, he could totally
change
his mind, but he can't do that.
You.
But for the sake of what he feels right at this very moment, Crusade's number one.
The new one's number two.
Number two. Ooh.
Because it was fucking awesome.
Okay.
Okay. Then I'd have to say Temple. I know a lot of people argue that Raiders is best, but I just rewatched it, and Temple had a lot of humor I had forgotten about, where Raiders seemed a little long.
Anything go.
Okay, so then Raiders is last. Yeah.
Just because it seemed a little long to me. I don't know. I mean, I love all the movies.
Wow. That's...
What she said.
Okay, go ahead. Do your rankings. Tell me how wrong I am, Nick.
No,
you're going to your opinion. Okay. Even though we,
disagree completely.
Well, me and John...
Even though you're completely wrong, and my opinion is correct.
Well, me and John talked about a little before the show, and we both...
Yeah, ours
are
about the same, except we switch...
Well...
What do we...
I started off thinking, in my original assumption, before the movie came out, it was Crusade, Doom, Raiders. And the Raiders, problem with Raiders is the same thing I have with Jimmy, which is it's too long. I wanted to fall asleep, but I wanted to watch the
pacing was just a little slow.
Yeah.
But it was their first thing out. They had a lot of great parts. I mean, ranking it last in Indiana Jones still puts it on a high tier above most of the movies. I mean, it was still a fantastic movie. Don't get me wrong.
But after watching Crystal Skull, and see, Jimmy is one of those guys who's really dead set on watching all the movies first before going to see the new movie.
So they're fresh.
I'm usually dead set against that because it has to hold up on its own, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
This is the first time I actually wish I watched the other three first before I did it. So I watched the three movies after I saw the movie, and it actually changed my order. Now I'm with Crusade, Raiders, Crystal Skull, Doom. And before, Doom was much higher. And I don't know if it's because I watched...
You moved Raiders up, even though you hadn't rewatched it?
No, I did rewatch it. Oh, I'm talking about after rewatching it, that's why I moved it up. Because originally Raiders was last. And now I'm putting Temple of Doom
last.
Do
you think Raiders went up, in your opinion, because of the return of Marion and the resolution of that plot in the new movie?
No.
Which I thought, honestly, was a great resolution.
I think part of it is I'm a little bit older. And
I'll have something to say about that here.
I think it's just because I'm a little bit older. It's like when you watch something when you're a kid. Like, a lot of people hate the new Ninja Turtles, for example, because they don't eat pizza because that's what they remember their turtles being. Yeah. Or, like, whatever the game gets remade. Like, people from the 50s watch the new Honeymooners movie with Bernie Mac or whoever. They go, first off, it's an all-black cast. We can't see that. We see Jackie Gleason or whatever. It's the same thing. Yeah. And so they have in their mindset something different. And I grew up watching Temple of Doom more and Last Crusade over Raiders. Mm-hmm. So Temple of Doom has a special place for me. But rewatching Raiders, it's really long. I almost fell asleep, but it's a little bit better because I also like that they go after a religious artifact, and it's about Indy. The other one, Temple of Doom, he falls into everything.
Yeah.
But and like Crystal Skull a bit, which is why I think I put that third.
Yeah.
And Temple of Doom, I have to agree with you. Kate Blanchett or whatever her name is just
and Crystal Skull, Kate Blanchett.
I mean Crystal Skull. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking because Kate, what's her name? Who's Spielberg's wife? Is in the blonde girl in Temple of Doom.
What's her name?
Kate Capshaw. That's what it is.
See, that's
she came
what
off a little annoying.
Now, see, rewatching it to me, I thought she was the best part of that movie. She was so funny.
Oh, Short Round.
Well, okay.
Time for Love, Dr.
Okay.
Joe.
No, you're right.
She was just so
funny because usually the girls he goes for are totally different.
Yeah.
And it was a different
chemistry. Remembering the film before I rewatched it, that was my favorite part of the movie. And the only part that she didn't annoy me in the new version is the opening where she doesn't talk, she just sings. And of course, where she puts her hand to the thing. That whole sequence.
Yeah.
The rest of it, though, she just screams a lot. And it's just...
Yeah.
But either or, what did you think of everything?
Well, my order is Last Crusade, then Raiders, and then Temple of Doom, then Crystal Skull. I have Crystal Skull last.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
There's a whole bunch of things about Crystal Skull that I just didn't...
Yeah.
You know, the first three, there's... I think it's that whole element of not having special effects as much. Mm. When I say special effects, I mean like computerized.
CGI.
This one's special effects weren't as good. The jungle looked fake.
The jungle stuff, I think.
The jungle looked
like...
They have more action, though.
You know, in the first ones, they have all the action and stuff like that. And as far as, you know, he's like kind of... All the tombs and, you know, special passageways and things like that. I like all that. But in this one, some of the stuff just wasn't believable as far as, you know, going over three waterfalls and, you know, Cate Blanchett hanging from a tree branch and, you know, ants working together and getting on each other's shoulders so they can bite her and all this stuff.
Or my personal favorite, which is one of the coolest sequences in the movie, but looking back, even when I was like, no fucking way this is going to happen, which has made me think that it was the end of the movie, but they were starting at the beginning, you know, showing you back, is atomic blast goes off, and he's in a fucking refrigerator.
I mean, the action was...
It kind of makes sense because it's lead, you know, but...
Yeah. And I mean, how did the
doors stay closed?
That's an Indiana Jones-like type
thing to go.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not that's believable, but... When I, you know,
Tim's World's coming out on DVD. Sorry,
like I actually watched Raiders of the Lost Ark last night.
Yeah,
and you know the scene when he's on the truck and he's hanging from the thing. He goes under and he like goes under the car, like sliding under the car, then he has his whip and he's like skiing behind it and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Indiana Jones.
I mean, yeah, that's Indiana Jones, not
driving the car and then
over a waterfall. Or just,
yeah, that's Temple of Doom like stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of cheesy, kind of corny. It's still Indiana Jones, though, so right. Don't get me wrong. I was excited during the whole movie.
I also wish, and this is my other beef with Crystal Skull, is that it's not like Last Crusade, because Last Crusade, everyone had their moment to shine.
Yeah.
They were trying to do that here. Shia had a moment where he did the sword fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Which Marion had her moment.
Marion had more than one moment, though, which is usually a little odd, because usually it's vice versa. Indy has the most moments, because it's Indiana Jones.
What I didn't like about the Marion thing, and Amanda, I saw it with Amanda, and she kind of brought this up, and looking back at it, I understand what she's talking about. You know, they hadn't seen each other for, what, 20 years?
Yeah.
And, you know, they see each other at the beginning of the movie, and they still, like, have a dislike for each other, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't really have a time in the movie where they can kind of
have the chemistry
respect. Be alone, like, I love you, blah, blah, blah.
But they didn't have to be alone.
And then all of a sudden they get married at the end.
Okay, wait. Here's my defense of that. They didn't have to be alone. They had an on-again, off-again thing for decades. Like, even in Raiders, they'd already been on-again, off-again before Raiders happened.
Yeah.
And that whole thing where they're in the back of the truck, and he was upset that she got married, and she's like, well, you've had tons of girls. Yes, sweetheart, but they all had one problem. They weren't you. I thought that was the perfect ending to them, and they didn't need a lot of time to consider getting married.
See,
they realize now that they're older, they know what they want, and they were ready to settle down for each other instead of
Agree with that, but I also agree with you that there was a lot of stuff. Like, the whole subplot where he becomes he's blacklisted for being a communist.
No, I agreed with that, too. It was interesting.
I didn't. Did he get a job in England, or did he get a job back in the
World
University?
Now, that was a little unclear.
All right.
Because it went, if in the 50s, if you were blacklisted, you were blacklisted.
I agreed with your thing that how do they know he did something heroic? There was no evidence.
Yeah, the ship disappeared. So, they ruined all evidence of everything.
But what I would say is the ox vouched for him and cleared his name is my... The way I
chose they didn't,
to see
that's
that.
What I'm saying. They didn't
right,
explain that.
Right, they didn't
that.
Show it to you. I and understand
I
your frustration.
Partially agree with John. Now, see, I think that that's the way those two characters naturally are with each other. Mm-hmm. Like, even when they're married, those two will be fighting like cats and dogs because that's what makes them work. Like, the first time she saw him in the movie, mm-hmm. she kissed him, then she punched him the fuck out because the same
movies,
thing.
Really.
They hadn't seen each other for, like, a few years because he dumped her.
Well, my other favorite thing in the movie was the way they showed him age and how he was sitting at his desk. He's like, it's been a rough few years. First we lost Dad, then Marcus. That was really tough.
Now, see... That's the other thing I talked to him about,
really
too.
Touching.
I might have mentioned it to you. Mm-hmm. It felt like at some points in the movie that it was Lucas versus Spielberg and how everything was being done.
Yeah.
And the beginning of the movie, they did the really cool shadow shot, and they had the really bad fucking dialogue of, we're getting too old. No, that was Lucas.
Really?
The shot is Spielberg, but the dialogue is Lucas. The thing at the end where he's looking at the desk and going... The older you get, life starts taking things away from you. That's something very Spielbergian, the way it's delivered.
I thought you meant the hat shot. I'm sorry.
No, the shot, yes. But then you have Lucas going, okay, now have him say that we're getting too old. Because the audience doesn't know that Indiana Jones is old.
It's like 60.
And so by the time that one scene happens, it feels almost cheesy. And
I know. I love that Shia was Henry Jones III. I love that he called him Junior.
Yeah.
See, but did you have a problem with Shia a little?
I did.
Why?
What was your problem?
Problem is I think of Shia LaBeouf as Even Stevens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's grown so much. He's done
every
so many
Saturday
since
with my sister.
I love
it's
Even
great
Stevens.
Show.
I love
but he's
funny.
Really sure
it
the range since then. Yeah. With all the movies he's done.
Yeah, but...
I'm excited that Lucas wants him to star in the fifth movie and bring Jones and Harrison in halfway, like Sean Connery-esque in Crusade.
And the thing is, the best part of the quote is that I haven't talked it over with Harrison or Stevie. That's like, you're damn right, because they don't want to fucking do it, probably.
Yeah. I hope they will, because it was great.
Harrison is up for doing it.
Oh, I think they... Well, I think Spielberg is just
Spielberg
really,
will be the hardest one to convince, probably.
Spielberg, I think, just doesn't really... He does it because George is his friend.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, he has fun
but
working
with Harrison. And I was really worried about this movie because some of the early reviews were bad, and Lucas has screwed up Star Wars so bad that I was worried.
God,
but my worries were put to rest. Some of the action was a bit over the top, I agree, but I thought it held true to Indiana Jones. kept the humor, kept the emotion, and was great.
Me and John both mentioned we want to see it again, probably to see if that might.
I have a couple friends that want to see it, and I'll probably go see it with them.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I know my mom wants to see it, and we got mom to see Iron Man, so we're pushing her to the new age of films.
I was on Rotten Tomatoes with Amanda. We were reading some of the reviews mm-hmm. about it, and you know how they had some of the bad ones?
Yeah.
We read some guy's bad one. I feel what it said. The theme to Indiana Jones, Curse of the Crystal Skull, is really shown to you in the first shot of the whole movie. They really do make a mountain out of a molehill.
Aww.
Isn't that horrible?
That's horrible.
I mean, it's a good...
good transition. It's a good line. It's a good line.
Yeah, I think it was too easy to take pot shots at this movie.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of those bad reviews.
I did also appreciate.
In the end, it's Indiana Jones, and I grew up loving Indiana Jones. I still love Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Even if Shia does the next one, you will still watch
it. Watch it, and I'll still, you know, probably go buy it and all that stuff.
Yep. Yes. All right.
A nice long first half.
Well, this is our one-year anniversary.
Oh, and I do want to mention, too, since I haven't listened to the show since the Christmas episode, as we've discussed several times, I got an iPod last week, and I've already listened to January, February, and half of March. By next week, I'll probably be current, the week after
things. I know, that scares us all.
So I'm actually just past the No Nick show and into the No John show. I think I'm partway through that.
So what do you think so far, Jimmy?
I like now it. The one episode had some audio problems, but Applesauce Bitch is my favorite of the last, like, 10 episodes.
We've been having a lot of hits on that one, so yeah.
It's really funny. Like, we've got the first 20 minutes or so, the interaction between the three of us.
I just remember the email I got during that.
Well, I played the first 20 minutes.
Makers of, what was it, Velveeta or something?
Yes. Well, see, Morgan's never listened to our show than, like, a couple minutes that we played her when I first started dating her.
Yeah.
And on the way home from Indiana, we listened to about the first 20 minutes of Applesauce Bitch, and she was rolling with laughter in her
seat. People, so it was listening to our show.
If you want to try out our show, like, you're kind of bored with this episode or not too thrilled and you want to, or you love this episode and you want to look for our best, go to Applesauce Bitch.
Applesauce Bitch or Star Trek White Supremacy.
Star Trek White Supremacy. That's a good one, too. That's an old one, but that's a good one.
Or if you'd like to share your thoughts with
us. Or the No Nick Show, of course, is awesome because Nick wasn't there.
Because I wasn't there. goodbadgeeky@gmail.com. And just, or go to our website, dribbleforkids.com/GBG. There's a form there. When it sends out, it addresses it to all three of us, but on the webpage, it only lists Nick and Jimmy, but John is included in that, so it's something a bug we're still working out. So, good bag.
And we haven't plugged ourselves this week, but that's okay. We don't need. We're on time. We'll plug ourselves next week.
Yes. So, all right, we'll be back in
after
a few.
The great song.
Long, long time ago, I can still remember when we started recording this podcast for you guys. And I knew if I had my chance to write and sing and laugh and dance, those listeners would be happy, if not wise. But every time Jimmy sung, I shivered.
Hey.
And every bit that Jimmy delivered was bad news for everyone.
Every bit?
Yeah, he almost doesn't make it fun. I can't remember if I cried.
You did.
On the day our duo died, John came and I let him inside. Yay.
What's the name of that?
Our podcast was complete. The good, the bad, and the geeky. We may not be too cool, just a little bit freaky. But we've been around for one whole year, and we're here to stay, that's clear. So stick it in your ear. Jimmy writes some books about geese,
and Nick loves God and John Cleese.
Too bad I only say so.
John can play that rock and roll.
Jimmy's singing, dear God, hurts my soul.
For this gig, I should get paid lots of dough.
Yeah, right. Well, I knew that I'm in love with him.
Jimmy, you're gay. I say it again. Don't forget He's racist too. Nick lets us sing us too. We'll sing songs that make you stand up and cheer. Jimmy Hendrix, right, thou'll save your ears.
Okay, I give up. I'll stand over here and I'll only sing the chorus.
We got the ones are singing the good, the bad, and the geeky. Jimmy's not cool, he's a lot of freaky.
Hey!
Now we've been around for one whole year, and we're here to stay, that's clear. So stick it in your ear.
We bring you news, reviews, and such that you don't care about that much, with some skits occasionally.
Don't forget the emails and music too, on the guitar, piano, and the kazoo. Don't we sort of sound like James Dean?
A little. We did our Celebrity Apprentice. The brain won because he was a menace. Mr. Know-It-All was an ass. Dr. Phil didn't have any class. I chased J. Edgar across the ocean floor, leaving G the Nudge a foolish notion. John is like a bunny, showed emotion. Thank God that's over for good. That's our podcast.
The good, the bad, and the geeky. We think that we're cool, just a tiny bit free,
just a sketch.
But we've been casting for one whole year, and we're here to say that's clear. Now lend us your beer.
That's a fat joke on Nick's ears.
The Christmas show was far from fantastic. Alcohol really made it go spastic. Wendy and Nathan tried to help. Other guests just made it worse. Perhaps we should have tried to rehearse at least next year. It will surely be better.
But the writer's strike was sweet perfume. It ate up time and gave us tunes. We covered canceled shows. Jimmy viewed pilots while I dozed.
Finale sweeps music and the movies. One of us will find them really groovy. Jimmy, nothing rhymes with groovy.
Just sing the chorus again. This one's for Pat Godwin.
We are singing the good, the bad, and the geeky. We're always cool and the right kind of freaky. But we've been podcasting for an entire year, and we're here to stay, that's clear. Sing it in your ear.
I think we're bored with enough verses and a mazeling with very few curses. We don't need to keep them up with Don.
You're right, it's time to wrap this up. Any last thoughts?
Well, I think
Jimmy, shut up.
Shut up. Oh, yeah, DJ Hot Dog sometimes.
Take it home, boys.
The good, the bad, and the geeky. We may not be too cool, just a little bit freaky. But we've been around for one whole year, and we're here to stay, that's clear. So stick it in your ear. One more time?
Yeah!
Alright, the good, the bad, and the geeky. We're always cool and the right kind of freaky. But we've been podcasting for an entire year, and we're here to stay, that's clear. So stick it in your ear.
Hey! John, the words must cuss.
Fuck you.
Asshole.
Bitch.
I have nothing to say to that.
The end.
Yay. Hi, folks. This is JT from the GigCast, and I'm the host of a new daily podcast to raise money for a very worthy cause. It's called JT Ukes at 40, and on it I talk with my kids, play some music, and basically talk about my first 40 years and what I've learned. And it's all to help raise money to buy me a ukulele. What? No, I did. No, I told you it was a selfish podcast. No, I did. Anyway, folks, if you could just go to nightgig.com/JT, listen to the podcast, tell your friends, and, send me money, and we could all have a happy, happy day. Remember, that's nightgig.com/JT.
Over the break.
Well,
and that too.
Yes.
Well, there was a commercial break after we sung the song.
Yes, remember, yes, John? That's right.
So
that's when we talked about the movie. Not during the song.
Obviously. Actually,
we talked
whenever
two minutes
Nick was singing,
things.
John and I were whispering really quietly so the microphone didn't pick us up about the movie.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we got season finales except for Lost, which we'll cover next week.
This is season finale Palooza. Yeah, I think Lost is the only season finale we don't have to... Well, there's some, like, late, like, Men in Trees I won't be able to cover yet because it's still burning off in the summer since it got canceled.
It's dying slowly.
And we've got lots of summer premieres for next week. Oh, God. Battlestar Galactica is still, like, 3 weeks out from their finale, too. Yeah, I've got, like, 4 or 5 summer premieres for next week, but I'm not... Even though I've seen one or two of them, I'm not reviewing them this week because this is our season finale Palooza episode.
TV beast, Jimmy is.
You should
replace Mike Acello on TV Guide, man.
I should. I'm applying for the job. let's start with sitcom land. Samantha Who? What's Samantha Who? I mean,
Samantha what?
Samantha Who?
Samantha where?
It's
Samantha Why?
Shut up. It's an okay show. Nothing super special. Till Death, again, good show, but nothing super special to talk about. Aliens America was probably their series finale, which makes me sad because I liked it.
That was a good show when I saw of it. I was surprised.
It was pretty good. Little Bush, I'm very sad to see go because I really liked
it. You got canceled?
No, I don't think it got canceled. It's just already had their season finale.
Oh. We said that like it was being canceled, kind of.
No, I don't think
not
it is. Not
like it was ending. Okay.
I don't think it is, because it did. It
okay,
pretty
good,
well.
Good.
American Dad, Family Guy did theirs. Back to You had their series finale. I thought it was one of their better episodes, maybe. I'm trying to remember. Uh-huh. No, it's been a couple weeks since I watched it.
I don't remember.
The Kelly and thing trying to. I mean, they did the episode where they tried to keep the Weather Girl from being fired. That was fun. And then they did the one where they told everybody about the kid. That was cute.
It was a nice way to end the series, possibly, if it was the last episode. But
right.
I still don't like the changes they made to the girl, nor the fact they got rid of the Weather Girl. But anyway.
Everybody Hates Chris again. I mean, he'll be in a new school next year, so it will be a little bit different. But
he went to a new school.
Yeah, because he
so
was,
everyone will
he
hate
was at
Chris
Corleone Junior High.
Again.
Now he's not. And I'm trying to remember what happened. I think he got some scholarship to get into a... better school, or did they lose the scholarship? I don't remember. He was training in the science school where his only friend was going.
So the key is that when he moves to the new school, everyone can learn to hate Chris all over again.
How I Met Your Mother was good, because Barney and Ted made up, and I really liked the plot
good.
Of them fighting.
I hate you for getting me hooked on that show.
I've got the
that.
First 2 seasons.
I know. I don't
want to
fucking watch the show.
I think you
but
should,
I got
it's great.
Yeah.
And now we're almost to him meeting the mother. Do you think Stella's the mother, Sarah Chalk? Because
there's a lot. Michael Acello has reported that from his moles that Stella's the mother.
Probably.
But there's a lot of stuff that will happen before she
well,
becomes
the
mother.
Well, in the fall, she'll barely be able to just show up at all because Scrubs is ending. But it's just for the fall.
Yes, but remember Scrubs' contract, which is
right,
the,
all
the actors.
Every episode. Right, I know.
All 3 episodes. So that's in 3 weeks enough
she
to do two, three,
right.
four episodes.
I know. I don't know. I really like the show. I like where it's going, and I'm glad that it's there.
How much longer do you expect it to be on, honestly, though? Like
another 2 seasons.
2 seasons?
I'm going to say 2
I'll give it that.
More.
I'll give it that.
I don't anticipate them going on for 10 years, even though on one hand, I kind of wish they would, because I think there's still plenty they can do with it, but on the other, I feel like they're already moving towards an end.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I'm fine with that. I don't think next season will be its last. It could. But I'm going to say 5. They've done 3 now. I'm going to say 5.
Okay, I'll go with that.
As a guess.
I'll go with that.
And Big Bang finale. Shit, what happened in the Big Bang finale? I remember really
liking it. He went, oh my God, he went on a date
with
asked her out. And
that was so good.
What was the name of the cat? Because I thought that was the most brilliant way to
cat?
Explain a cliche.
What was
it? Something with an S.
They were talking about Schrodinger's cat.
Schrodinger's cat, there we go. And the whole purpose is that...
The cat in the box.
The cat's
that
cat
was also
box.
Talked about on Bones that same week, which cracked me up.
There's a vial of poison in a box with the cat.
With the cat.
If the cat barely knocks over, it will kill the cat. The cat could knock it over, or he couldn't.
But you can't see because the box is closed, and the question is the cat really dead till you open the box and see it? It's basically that whole adage, if the tree falls in the middle of the forest and no one's around to hear it, doesn't make a sound. It's what is reality perception... Or is reality?
Because of course the girl's theory is me and what's his name have a great friendship.
Right.
Why ruin the friendship? And he just
but
goes
they were actually
like that.
On their date at the end, so I'm really excited to see how.
Yes, we have no idea how it turned out.
Right,
but it was
right.
still pretty good.
I loved it. I really did.
Oh,
still in sitcom land, The Office was a
Office
great
was amazing. Yeah,
well, Toby's goodbye was, and Michael's tripping over himself. Is Amy Ryan like going to be on the cast a lot next year?
The rumor is that she's going to be the head manager of The Office 2.0.
I now, wanted Lauren Graham, but I would be okay with her.
Now what I'm concerned about is that if Mike, not Mike Judd, Greg Michaels, the guy who produces the show,
he
used to be on King of the Hill, whatever. Anyway, I'm sorry, Craig Daniels, not Craig Michaels. He said by the end of the series of The Office, it will follow the same blueprint of the British Office. And if that's the case, when will Michael get fired?
Well, Nick and I got a hold of the British Office this week. I have only watched the first series.
I haven't. You should have brought it.
No, that's okay. I have watched the first series. I have not watched the second series of the special yet.
I finally realized what happened. We were watching the first series of the first
series. Which is only six episodes.
Second season.
I was disappointed that the first series is only six episodes. There's only 12 episodes. Well, 14.
Plus the two Christmas.
So 14 episodes of the British Office.
That's something that me and Jimmy discussed is that I think the reason why I hate watching the U.S. version of The Office in terms of Steve Carell is because I like Steve Carell, and I hate it when he does something that's very cringe because I want to like Steve Carell's character. And the first version of The Office, David Brent is such an asshole, but I don't really care about him. The only problem is, I think after watching six episodes, by the time I finished the series, I cared enough about him that he started doing very cringeworthy stuff. And so it evened itself out.
Did you finish the second series?
Yes.
Did you watch Christmas?
Yes.
You've seen Christmas before.
I saw part two. I never saw part one.
I'm going to put the British Office for reviews for next week, and I'll finish them, and then we can talk more in depth.
Yeah, I'll hold my thoughts off until next week, besides that little part. But the U.S. Office was amazing.
I love... Oh, man, it was fantastic.
Writing Dwight as a sympathetic character, anytime they do it,
that
it always...
That twist where Dwight was fucking Angela.
Was good,
yeah.
But I mean, any moment where you can get him,
we're not cussing on the show anymore,
right? Any moment where you can get a silent moment, like where he goes, "You know what? I blew it, but that's okay. It's my fault." Stuff like that is always gold.
Jim not being able to propose, bro.
That sucked, but it was very well done. And
do you think that's going to lead to the breakup?
Yeah. Come on! You knew that was the problem with being together anyway. It's like Ross and Rachel.
I know.
Or Elliot and JD, they have to break him up to get him back together by the end of the series.
Well, we talked about this
just
with
like
Amy,
Cheers.
Nick and I talked about this with Amy Ryan.
I can't think of the character's name.
We were
Sam
wondering
and
Diane. If Amy Ryan is going to be the new boss in the spinoff, are her and Steve Carell going to keep dating and then they could go like back and
forth?
That's the
because thing.
It looked like there was something between them.
I thought so too, and I was very proud of the progression of the character. I'm going to say, I was very surprised
Jim
how much I love the
Steve episode. Carell how to be smooth.
Well, no, he just told him the truth, which is you do not love her, you're infatuated with her, but you know what? Don't do that. Do this. And and he did it, and it worked.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't being an idiot. Except for he's going to go with Jan and have a baby, sort of. And that just makes me mad. Because I do not... I like Jan, but I do not like Jan with Michael.
I did for a minute.
Like that one episode where she goes, listen, I really like you, and you really like me, and you know we really care for each other. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry this has happened. I'm sorry I'm this way. I'm sorry I'm that way. Whatever. And I was like, oh, sweet episode. They really do belong together. Then you see that at the dinner party.
You see the actual relationship. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We thought that was the actual, but it wasn't. Yeah. And speaking of Steve Carell, he hosted the season finale Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
They only got 12 episodes in this year.
I looked it up.
It was only the 12th Saturday Night Live. It was good.
I totally forgot that he was on it, so I didn't record it.
Some of the best moments of the show, though, were John McCain. John McCain did two separate sketches, like a Weekend Update segment and his own segment.
Oh, he was actually there?
Yeah, it was actually him, and I loved it. His own segment was like, we need to elect a candidate who's very, 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 very old. And he's like, look at how I'm against pork barrel spending. When I first became a senator in Arizona...
In 1804,
whatever. He's like, there were 7,500 miles of highway. Now there are less than 900, and they like show the map. He's like, I'm very proud that you have to go to New Mexico to mail a letter because we have no post office. And he was just a parody of himself.
Yeah.
And then he came back during Weekend Update, and he's like... I really think you Democrats should take your time picking the best candidate for the job.
And then when
he's
both
like,
of them start
arguing. He's like, you know what they start arguing. He's like, exactly. And he's like, best part, or the worst part about the convention is when it's over and you pick the candidate. Aren't you let down? It's like, how exciting would it be if you guys come out of your convention in August with no candidate? He's like, I'd even be for putting both of them on the ballot in November. I just want to make sure you guys get the best person for the job. Yeah. It was so funny. So funny. That's
and if
funny.
You were
I mean, Crow was funny
yeah,
too.
He spoke
but
at the food show.
Oh,
McCain?
Did he really?
McCain, yeah.
I like McCain.
Those who don't know, John works in food business, so yeah, that's what he was doing last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
International food show, and tons of people there.
That's cool, man.
So freaking crowded. Well, anyway, we didn't get to see him yeah. speak. It was like a invitation type thing, but
yeah.
he was a big speaker there, I guess.
Well, that's cool.
Any Republican that is the most frequent guest on a liberal leading show like the Daily Show, you have to respect him, because he is the most frequent guest that show's ever had. I mean, he's a... Other than his war policies, I agree with a lot of his politics. I like him.
Need to put some googly eyes on him.
Carell was great, too. I mean,
McCain
stole the show, but Carell was great. They did a pair... Their digital short was the Japanese version of The Office.
I heard that, yeah.
Go check that out
which
on YouTube.
Which Ricky Gervais introduced, which I thought
Ricky
was
Gervais,
really funny.
And then they had, like, Steve Carell played himself, and then everybody else just really looked like him.
The joke that was best was the one at the end where it's in Japanese, so you really have no idea what they're saying. And at the end, and it's really not that funny.
It's not real Japanese, though, because some of the words you can
but
tell
it's not really... It's not really funny what you're seeing. You're just assuming that, oh, it's the whole thing where, oh, Americans not each other, and they just keep doing it because they're stupid.
I just like Pam giggling into her hands.
like a Chinese school or a Japanese school. Well, then after that, Ricky Gervais was like, now see, wasn't that great? We have them popping up all over the world now. Spinoffs everywhere. France, whatever.
Which is true.
But that last bit was really funny. You know why? Because it was racist. Like that. You're just like,
that was
really?
And I like the thing, too, where he's like the American version is a ripoff of the British version, although they made some major changes, like changing Tim to Jim.
Original.
Which is the closest of the words. Yeah. But he was claiming the Japanese was the original that the British ripped off, which obviously
the Keith and Kevin thing
British.
After watching the series, that's weird. Like, I like Kevin, or
I like
Kevin a lot
better. Oh, My Name is Earl had their finale. They got rid of...
Yes. And I thought it was great.
It was. It was.
It made the rest of the season actually feel worth it.
And I like this... I mean, they've always had, like, reoccurring characters on the show, but they've really beefed up their reoccurring cast.
Yeah, which, as Jimmy said earlier, before we discussed when we brought up the one series
about Bridges,
I wish they would make Beau Bridges a permanent part of the show, because every time he delivers either...
Him and the mother.
Well, both of them.
Yeah.
It's always heartwarming a little bit, because him and Earl, and then it's always funny.
I like O'Malley going gay, though. It's fun.
Yeah, that was funny. That
like,
didn't bother me.
I like that relationship.
That it didn't feel... Well, that's my problem with any show. Okay. It's like, hey, let's add a gay character in.
Well, Kenny was already there.
No, Kenny... No, I know
but
Kenny.
But it was nice
like,
that Kenny
the
felt
The O'Malley thing is, like, he always felt off.
Yeah.
That was part of his characters. It's not like...
Well, and Kenny... Every time you saw Kenny, he was looking for love. So
no,
Their plots interconnected.
But I'm glad Earl has money now, which they got
too.
The show back on track, sort of.
I am too.
Except
this
for he might have to redo
thing.
Everything, but we won't know. We won't know.
The Simpsons also had their finale where Lisa got her own show. It was funny. Nothing special, but
Simpsons is just in a rut where it'll always be until the show gets canceled. And I hate to say that, but they don't do anything good anymore.
Oh, I disagree. But
Funny. I mean, Simpsons, it's like Indiana Jones for most, like me and John feel. No matter what, we're going to love it. It's Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's just not as good quality as we want.
It's not going to do anything groundbreaking anymore.
And see, you're catching up on it now,
right.
But we've grown up with it the entire
You guys have a better idea of The Simpsons than I do.
Not a better idea. It's just that we have
better
a different...
over big picture view.
Well, no, it's just a difference of opinion of what we've grown up with, Jimmy.
Seen a selected bit of the series out of order very sporadically. That's why
what I'm saying.
You have a more... understanding of the arcs and growth of the show.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you
which
that.
Which I don't, and I fully admit that I don't.
I'm not trying to belittle what your opinion of it, because you're coming into it differently than me and John are.
Absolutely.
So that's all I meant by that. Anyway.
I wasn't offended. I was I was trying to point out that I agree that you do have
next time,
stuff.
Jimmy and I almost run into each other, and we stand for 30 minutes apologizing to each other. Next
that's
time,
okay.
We'll
Dr. Phil will come in and broker for us.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil's on vacation.
Yeah. He's not on this show. We don't have any of our great guests for the anniversary night.
Except for Pat Godwin in spirit.
We love
Pat
Godwin.
Of course.
Our weekly shout-out to Pat Godwin. Is Mr. Know-It-All even going to do a little bit?
Mr. Know-It-All will be showing up sometime in the next few weeks.
He should do just a bit in the middle today.
He will be showing up in the next few weeks.
We decided this.
Oh, we do have a new formula. Okay.
Yeah, which we'll talk about that later.
Next week we'll talk about it. We'll do our next week preview at the end of the show.
Dude's like, let's sell it now.
No, save it. Smallville is one of the few shows barely affected by the strike. They got in 20 episodes this year. For an hour-long drama, that was probably the most. But it ended real well. Lex figured out Clark's secret. They destroyed the Fortress of Solitude.
Didn't he disappear?
Brainiac died for real. Well, yeah, again.
Jane Marsh is assigned for next year.
Is he?
Yeah.
To come back? I hope so. They've killed him twice. But the thing about him is he's an artificial construct. So,
I know. That was the whole problem with Brainiac in general.
But like, we don't know what happened to Supergirl, I don't think. I don't think we ever figured that out. And Chloe was arrested by the FBI or CIA.
She's back officially.
Good. But she'll probably be in prison for part of it. Just as Jimmy proposed before Jimmy Olsen proposed to her before she could say yes or no.
Jimmy Olsen can't be happy. He's Jimmy Olsen. He should have a shit life of
reporting,
except for going, gee, Willikers, Superman.
Well, even with Chloe, he's not always happy because her attention is always divided by Clark, and he'll never know Clark's secret, even though everybody else on the show besides him and Lois know it. Anyway, it was good, though. I really like the way they're going with it. Medium had a good end where they did end up getting some money and getting some justice, and Kelly Preston was a total psycho bitch who manipulated them from the start. Bones was fantastic because Booth got shot in the penultimate episode, and all the previews like, is he alive? Is he dead? David Boreanaz, who played Angel. And when they started the episode with his funeral, and it was clear that it wasn't a dream, and I was totally faked out that they had to think he was dead. And then the fact that Brennan was supposed to be told that he wasn't really dead and she wasn't because of Sweets kind of experimenting on them was a really good twist. And it was a very emotional show. And I really think they're getting close to getting Booth and Brennan together. I don't think they'll wait till the series.
Oh, they admitted that next year.
Next season, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they'll wait till the finale. Boston Legal ended well again, but it's getting into a point where I think next season maybe it's last. And I really think that they are going to have Denny go crazy or die. Because they're definitely building towards that. But I'm hoping they'll get him and Shirley back together briefly, because especially in this latest episode, they just had a moment where she was like, you aren't washed up. I thought that you have suffered, and you are still the Denny Crane. You can still pull out a case. And it was the biggest test of Denny and Alan Shore's friendship yet, and they survived it. And they did it in a really cool, different way, because their friendship's been tested several times, but they did it in a way that seemed fresh. And just some really good character development. I'll be sad if next season's its last, but I can see that happening. As long as they take some time to end it right, I'll be happy with it. Next season, I think, will be its fifth. So, it's good. Reaper was fantastic.
Reaper was great. I enjoyed Reaper.
Finding out that the devil was Sam's father and all that crap.
Well, we haven't officially found out, but I mean,
he's his father.
Signs are pointing out to yes.
Yeah. And, it was good. Gossip Girl, Michelle Trachtenberg ended her run fantastically. Breakups, marriage, somebody you didn't think was going to get married got married. People that you thought would stay together broke up. It was everything a guilty pleasure show should be.
I heard Ugly Betty, apparently they're starting to focus it more on Ugly Betty again. Uh-huh. And they said
that's a show I kind of want to catch up on over the summer, too.
They said it sort of,
Someday I'm going to watch that show on DVD. I wasn't impressed with the pilot, but from everything I hear about it, it got much better after the pilot.
And Jimmy, because you haven't watched it, I please ask that you close your ears.
La 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 la. I don't care. Go ahead.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, because I've only seen the pilot, so I'm not invested enough to care.
Okay. I saw the season finale of House, and it was...
Oh, you're talking about House.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about Ugly Betty. No, that's good. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Because I'm going to listen to the show later, so if I block my ears now, I'll still accidentally hear it a week from now when I'm listening to it.
Okay. Well, the whole thing is that the whole season arc, they've shifted everything away. Kind of like with NCIS, they have a new cast. They brought, like, new interns in to parade around and House can make fun of them. And for half the season, it was okay. I mean, I caught up late to it, too. Once the writer's strike hit, and it was okay, but there's one girl in there that House has a nickname for everybody because he doesn't care. He hates everybody. He hates himself. So one of them was called number 13 because that was the number he assigned her when he walked through the door. And there's a plastic surgeon man who he actually has given a name, Cal Penn. He calls him Smiley because he thinks optimistically about everything. Mm-hmm. And then he calls one girl Cutthroat Bitch. And Cutthroat Bitch is just like him. Except for the simple fact that she starts dating his best friend, which he hates. Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the episode, the first part opens up. He's in a bus crash, or he's in a strip club. Doesn't know how he got there, and the stripper goes, "You're bleeding from your head. Why?" He's in a bus crash, and he forgets someone's dying in the bus. It's Cutthroat Bitch. And it's really sad. It's really good. Matter of fact, if you heard last week's episode, the song at the end of it after the credits, if you sticked around, is a version from the finale episode of the theme song Teardrop, which I was really moved by. Matter of fact, the last 20 minutes of the whole episode is nothing but you just in there. I'm manly enough to admit I was crying like a little girl. And my dad, who likes the show, was also crying too. So it was really sad because House doesn't feel anything for anybody. And so right when he realizes that Amber's the one, Cutthroat Bitch is the one who's going to die because of his friends dating her, he has this one lone tear. And he's like, it's her. It was really sad. I was some of the best television this year that I've seen. And there's been a lot of good television. I was surprised. I wasn't expecting it at all. I was expecting,
Do you have any other finales that I don't watch? Because my last three finales I have, I know you don't watch.
That's pretty much it, because I know you have Grey's Anatomy still.
Grey's, Housewives, and Idol.
What was the big kiss? Who was
Hang on. Idol. John, I'm sure, watched Idol. What did you think about the finale?
I mean, I knew he would win.
I didn't.
Did
I
you
have
want
my doubts.
Him to win, though?
Yeah, I did. I hate Archela.
Well, I did, too. But, see, I was just listening to our podcast when the top 24, that first Hollywood week, and I said David Cook's the only one I can get excited about back then. And I rooted for him the whole way, thought he'd make it all the way, but the last night of performance, when the judges all sided with Archuleta, I thought Cook might actually lose it, but he won by a landslide, like 12 million votes out of 99 casts. He deserved it every bit.
I think it's funny, though, that...
And he's dating Kimberly from, like, season 2, I guess, because she was interviewing him for some, like, TV Guide channel thing that every week she did covered Idol, and... I just read this today that during the last interview after he won, he turned to her and he's like, "You've been saying so many nice things about me this season. You want to go out to dinner?" And she's like, "Sure." So they're dating now.
She didn't win in season two. Yeah. I preferred from what I've seen David Cook to win too, even though I don't follow the show that much. But I do think it's a little odd that the producers leaked out the fact that Archuleta's father was going crazy like the week before. Whatever, which makes me further
to try to make it more of a contest, so you feel sorry for Archuleta and vote for him.
Quite the opposite.
Make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Cook should have won. The hands down.
No, I agree with that.
I mean, honestly, the top three, in my opinion, should have been Cook, Carly Simon, and Michael Johns. And Carly Simon and Michael Johns went like 6 and 7 or something. Yeah. Archuleta, I guess I could see him make it to number 2-ish. I think Brooke White should have still been there. Up higher.
I don't know.
Saisha should have never been in the top three.
You realize that she only had one style.
Yeah, but that was. But Saisha should have never been. Well, yeah. Saisha should have never been in the top three. I think that was terrible. I don't know why she was in the top three. I'm still baffled when people like Carly and Brooke and Michael She was in the bottom two for like 12 weeks straight and she made it into the top three. I don't know. Grey's Anatomy. There were lots of hookups and relationships at the end. Callie Torres, Sarah Ramirez, who was married George in Vegas a season and a half ago, did go lesbian and kiss Dr. Han back. They've been flirting with it for a couple episodes. It was kind of a natural progression, but I liked it. Really sweet. George kissed younger Gray. That was coming from a mile away. You could see that.
Who's George? McDreamy?
George is T.R. Knight, the gay one that took all the flack. He's gay in real life. He's not gay on the show. He's the intern that flunked. But they're going to let him retake his test now because he found that he only flunked by 1 point, which he wasn't supposed to find out. The younger Gray took a peek at his file and told him. So they kissed. And I'm like, yeah, they're living together. That's going to happen. Izzy and Alex kissed. That's been going on again, off again since the first episode. And Alex had some other thing. And Derek McDreamy and Meredith got together for the rest of the series. They said after this episode, they're together forever. Meredith actually was seeing a psychiatrist or psychologist for the last few episodes, and she worked through all her mental problems with her fear of trusting and stuff, all the things that made her screwed up and made her keep pushing him away. And so she came at the end. He was going to sell his land that he had bought. They were going to build their dream house. At the end, she'd laid out candles where their dream house would be, like the rooms and everything. Like, here's the kitchen and stuff, and she was waiting for him. And she's like, I'm fixed now. And he's proposed, and they're going to get married and build their dream house. And that's nice, because that's why I hated the first season, because it was all Meredith and Derek. And now they fixed it and made it nice. So now it'll be
dreamy.
The biggest finale for me of the year was Desperate Housewives. because shut up. Edie left like the episode before the end, but the end was exciting. Nathan Fillion, there was lots of exciting parts. But in the last 3 minutes, they jumped 5 years in the future, which I guess they're sticking with next year. And where the hell is Susan's husband Mike, who we waited 3 seasons for her to marry? And then now there's some new guy in the 5 years forward, and Gabby's got fat kids, and I don't know. I'm a little bit worried and upset that they're doing this 5 year jump, but on the other hand, it could be really cool. So we'll see.
All right, now I have to ask you, because yes, that was all your reviews, right?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay, I have one question for all of you.
So yeah,
this entire season, mm-hmm, what has been your favorite new show? Not show that's returned.
Eli Stone.
Eli Stone.
Eli Stone.
I'll go with that. John?
Favorite new show?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really watch any new shows, but yeah, I don't really watch new shows, so I can't comment.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. What about for shows that returned this year that you've watched? What has been your favorite show so far?
Mine's The Office.
The Office?
Yeah. Always.
I thought Heroes really stepped it up this year above what they'd done
after
before.
They started out sucking?
The last, like, 5 or 6 episodes I thought were fantastic. And I didn't think it was possible, but I think Lost stepped it up even more.
Okay.
Housewives did some interesting things, but they also did some things I didn't like. Grey's for the middle of the season kind of sucked. Smallville did some really interesting things this season. If I have to pick one, I think I'm going to go with Heroes, though. Was most approved this year.
I'm going to go with, Lost so far.
The reason Lost didn't win my most improved award is because I thought last season of Lost was fantastic. And so this season's fantastic too. But the first season of Heroes I liked, but I wasn't over the moon like the rest of you were. And then this second season, with bringing in Kirsten Bell and stuff, I thought they did, and Hero in Japan. I did think some of it was rushed to finish, and some of their choices were bad, but it got me more excited from week to week. And David Anders, overall, Heroes wins most improved for me.
Okay. All right, so that's our choices for the entire season.
For the
TV
entire season.
Our summer season starts, you said, next week?
Next week we're going to cover Reno 911, Last Comic Standing, Mina Mencia, The Venture Brothers. A lot of those are very premiered or about to premiere. Reno, Last Comic Standing, Mina Mencia already on. I already watched Mina Mencia, but I'll save it for next week. We'll do the Lost season finale. Mm-hmm. I know there's a new show starring Mary McCormick coming that I'm going to record.
Yes.
I already said the season pass.
Burn Notice
looks fantastic.
Starts soon, too.
Burn Notice starts in July. Psych starts in July.
July, hey.
Project Runway will be back.
July.
We're going to have the Sex and the City movie next week. We'll recover the British Office. And we'll talk about the new direction of our show, what some of our breaks are going to be, what we've decided and worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And in the coming year, we have tons of new stuff, but we're going to save the coming year's preview for next week just because we've gone long enough tonight.
Yes. Come. All right, well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Get out of here without cheese! You're a creep! Go away! We're having a good time until you start a cheapers! Go have some coffee with cream or something, because I'll tell you something. This is a happy place.